This is Mysteries of Eurasia, Chapter 1, Continent Russia. This is written by Alexander Zugin, translated by Yaffe Arnold. The Country Within. Landmasses hold symbolic meanings which are as much linked with cultural stereotypes as with real-life experiences. Europe holds different meanings for the European who lives there, for the American who originated from it, for the African who is freeing himself from its influence, the Pacific Islander, and so on. Stereotypes of the continents have not remained purely and simply products of cultures born of more or less accurate knowledge, more or less lively feelings, and more or less clear awareness. They have sunk into the unconscious with so strong an emotional charge as will emerge in dreams or in spontaneous reactions, often linked with unconscious racism. At this point, a continent will no longer represent one of the Earth's five landmasses, but will symbolize a world of images, emotions, and desires. For example, Dr. Verne has clearly shown in the analysis of one of his patient's dreams that she did not regard Asia as a memory of, goal of, or desire for intercontinental travel, but as a symbol of the return to something holy, to the world of the absolute, the mystery of out-of-the-body experience, the way towards the oneness which bears the message of the true and real. Asia had become an inner continent, like Africa, Oceania, or Europe. These continents and what they symbolize will differ from person to person. This inner dimension may fasten upon any place, be it town or locality. What is important is to know what it means to each individual, what images, feelings, emotions, and prejudices it carries, since these comprise the subjective truth of the symbol. Geography generates as much geosociology and geoculture as it does geopolitics. Such is the content of the entry Continent from the French Dictionary of Symbols by Jean Chevalier and Alan Gierbrandt. We have permitted ourselves to give such a long quotation in full since it immediately defines the plane upon which our study will unfold. Often amidst a rise of national feeling and even racism, and in flashes of patriotism among different peoples, irrational elements stand out on the surface which, at first glance, cannot be explained by logical reasoning or an analysis of egotistical motives behind such an ideological complex. The awakening of national, racial, or continental memory often occurs without any external reason. Deep archetypes of the unconscious simply and suddenly burst and, like a chain reaction, awaken the whole complex of a collective worldview that seemed to be long gone. Examples of this include the stability of Celtic Irish, Jewish, Korean, African, and Japanese nationalisms, which continue to live and grow despite all the social and historical preconditions objectively contributing to their extinction. In principle, this is exactly the same case with the enigma of Russian patriotism. Mystical Russia, the White India, Kluyev, the Holy Rus, which Yesenin sets above paradise, and which Tyutchev equated to a religious principle in which one has to believe. Imagine how absurd Holy Australia, or Faith in the Czech Republic, would sound. It is undoubtedly a deep reality of national psychology and inner continent synthesizing in itself the worldview of a giant nation. The memory of continent Russia may lurk and sleep in the depths of consciousness for many long years, but sooner or later it will come to life and, when the time of awakening arrives, it will become a storm, a vortex, a scream. However, the psychological reality of inner Russia, in order to be effective and specified, should have an archetypal structure fully corresponding to objective historical processes and geographical areas. In this way, it is not merely a passive reflection of the external, but a paradigm which forms and structures the surrounding temporal and spatial space. In this regard, the famous historian of religions, Mircea Eliade, keenly observed, "Nature is something determined by culture. Some of the laws of nature vary depending on what the peoples of this or that culture understand by nature." Russian Sweden. What is the archetypal structure of inner Russia? On what is the concept of Holy Rus based? What are the origins of the complex of the imperial god-bearing people? We can find traces of this ancient tradition in the linguistic archetypes that date back to the formation of Indo-European unity in which, with remarkable resistance, are preserved in toponyms, myths, legends, and even in the ordinary correspondence between symbols and words. In addition, this entire complex of purely religious symbolism is closely linked with this ancient tradition. Otherwise, the baptism of Rus could not have happened so harmoniously and easily. the totality of Christian doctrine, in its ritualistic and symbolic paradigm, is consistent with the logic of older cults, which were not abolished, but transformed by Christianity into a new synthetic unity. The cycles of Russian lives and the specifics of Russian Orthodoxy present us with thousands of pieces of evidence of this. One canonical example of this is the summer festival of the prophet Elijah, who became the Orthodox expression of the old Aryan god of thunder, sky, and light, Perun. Let us consider some aspects of the archetypal combinations which define the logic of the Russian national mentality. We will start with the concept of Holy Rus. It is curious to note that evidently long before the arrival of the Slavs to the territory of Russia, the region of the southern Russian steppes from the Black Sea to the south of the Urals was named by the Aryans inhabiting it, Dwelling of the Gods, Great Sweden, or Cold Sweden. And only much later did this shift with the Germanic tribes to Scandinavia, which became Dwelling of People, Little Sweden. The sacred rivers of the ancient Aryans flowed into this Great Sweden, the Don, Tanakisel or Vanakisel, the branch of the river where the Vanir live, and the Dnieper, Danapru, or in Greek, Borisfen. The very Russian word for Sweden, Svetsia, Svetia, most likely meant bright, white, luminous. And this Indo-European root, Set, is possibly, and quite logically, etymologically similar to the Russian word for holy, Sveti. In addition, the Hindu tradition to this day still remembers Svetadvipa, the white island or white continent lying to the north of India. In most cases, Svetadvipa meant the symbolic island of Varahi, the place where the Hindus' ancestors originally resided at the North Pole. By analogy, it is appropriate to transfer this name to the territory of the temporal settlement of the Aryans before the migration to India, that the ancestors of the Hindus, the carriers of the Vedantic tradition in its earlier form, lived for a certain period of time in the territory of what is now southern Russia is confirmed by modern archaeological excavations. Therefore, the light, white, holy country was associated in ancient times with the Russian lands, a view which could take deep root in the consciousness of peoples such as the Aryans, contact between whom was maintained even after their linguistic and traditional unity was destroyed, as well as other indigenous Paleo-Asiatic peoples who on more than one occasion have demonstrated the unique capacity to preserve the mythological complexes which they received from the Indo-Europeans for entire millennia. The second component of the combination of Holy Rus is the very name Rus. One of the most likely and acceptable etymological interpretations of this word is the Aryan root Rus, which means red, ginger, or pink. It is entirely unimportant if Russia was named after a Slavic or Scandinavian tribe. The main point is that, on a subconscious level, red is closely associated with Russia, and was one of the favorite colors of the Russian princes, and the very Russian word krasny, besides denoting the color red, in the ancient Slavic language meant beautiful, distinguished, etc. It is also curious that another Russian word for designating the color red is cherny, which is etymologically close to the word cherny for black. In ancient Indian, the root Krishna also meant black and beautiful. It cannot be ruled out that this etymological connection was somehow imprinted in language associations and in half-effaced semantic structures of linguistic thinking, lending the meaning of the word red a kind of semi-conscious connection with the word black. If we combine these two lines, then we see that the concept of Holy Rus might be translated into the colorful symbolic dyad, white-red, or even light-dark. And, not incidentally, the combination of white-red was one of the most common among Russian princely heraldry, national costumes, ornaments, paintings, etc.